to another exciting episode of Video Game Bang. Video Game Bang. Your weekly source for all things video game. Featuring your fearless hosts, Corey Vincent.
I'm pretty much Microsoft and Marvel. The cans are on. It's when ish gets real.
Shot during the day.
And Aaron Carter.
Buy the armor, I equip it, and it's like Pink Thong. The guy that delivers vending machine items in my job. He could play the Rhino.
Fill up your Mountain Dew and grab your Doritos. It's time for Video Game Bang.
The thirst is real, everybody. I am Sir Aaron Carter, and you're listening to Sacramento's number one video game podcast, The Video Game Bang, powered by Energy, brought to you by Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Come for the coffee, stay for the comics, and GG Gamer Subs. Get your bump with GG Gamer Subs, everybody. We're running a three-man death ring today. That's right. Woo! Just the three of us. We got the real David Webb in the building.
What's going on, everybody?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, if these allergies would go the hell away.
The ring didn't help?
It did a little.
It did a little bit.
But I think I took, like, non-drowsy pills.
Yeah.
And, not non-drowsy, but
you
just
took
drowsy pills.
Drowsy pills, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was at work all day, like, zombie and crap like that. It's ridiculous.
Is it called Quaaludes, Aaron?
Wow, how dare you, first of all. The case is still pending. And Stephen Gutierrez is here,
everybody. Hey, what up, everybody? I'm back.
Yeah, you are. So, what's the dealie? Where have you been? How you?
Lots changed since the last time I was on the show.
Really?
I won the lottery.
Really now?
Yeah, so I'm now net worth of $100 million.
Okay. So this show is brought to you by Stephen Gutierrez.
Yes, why are we still in Corey's house?
Everybody.
Technically, I bought Corey's house.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, he's been evicted. Yeah.
This is how he's finding out by listening to
Pretty
this
much,
episode.
Yeah. The second thing is I made all that up because I'm a habitual liar. So
damn,
there it is.
It's a roller coaster ride through today.
Let's go to liar cam real quick just so we can. There you go, boom. And then of course the people that are here week in week out and they make the show happen. Of course, is the chat room. Say hello, chat.
Hello, chat.
We are on 8:30. That's right, the Pacific Standard Time. It was kind of on time schedule a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll call it.
We kind of hit that eight-ish.
Yeah,
that we give encompasses 8:30. It's between 8 and 8:30, so we're on time.
Yeah. We'll be on time-ish. I just say that, and it's anytime you want to record.
I just finished up the first season of Lost in Space.
Nice.
Good.
Nice.
Good. How do you like it?
I do like it a lot.
Yes. I'm sensing a butt.
It was interesting to where they went. Yeah. No, my butt isn't with anything, but I guess... They're the most unluckiest family in the world, put it that way.
Yeah.
It just seemed like if they got out of one thing, they got into something else.
All that brains leads misfortune. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be a balance.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, first of all...
There's got to be a balance.
The doctor clearly cannot trust that person.
The doc? Oh.
Doctor.
Okay.
Not the daughter doctor.
I was seeing the daughter doctor. Yeah, I was wait, where's he going with this?
No.
I think I think this is a show that we could do spoilers.
Yeah.
Okay. You can binge it in a day.
Yeah.
I mean, spoilers out the window.
So Dr. Smith is who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I wouldn't trust her.
And then I feel like that character, I don't know how it is throughout the original Lost in Space, but that in the movie... It was the same thing.
Same basic thing.
The doctor was untrustable.
Right. The doctor was the villain.
Exactly.
I want to say the show is probably the same. Dr. Smith is the villain in the show. Anybody in the chat or on that's listening to this tomorrow that's seen the show, you guys tweet us. Let us know what you think about the original show compared to this.
Is it hashtag Lost in BGB?
Yeah, hashtag Lost in BGB. There we go.
Because
I want to know, because I don't know where to find the original show.
The black and white one you're talking about?
Nor do I really want to, like, I don't have that much interest. I just want to know, like, the differences, the similarities and differences.
Oh, there's time.
There's a time.
Big difference.
Standard production value.
Yeah. Production value.
There's a lot of different things.
Well, I want to know, like,
vote now.
Race. Yeah, I was going to say.
come on, take your pick, man.
Is the Netflix show or the movie from 1998, which one's closer to the original show? You know what I mean? Like, which one's closer to the source material?
I want
to
say the movie from 98.
You think?
Because
probably,
were the robot belonged to the family in the original one.
True.
That's right, because he was working on it in the beginning.
Yeah. Like, he was always, it wasn't an alien.
But see, I like where they went with that, though.
I do, too.
I
didn't doubt it.
I loved that. It was like, I don't know, it added more character. character background to the robot?
To the robot.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, you know what I mean? I get you.
Like,
I get
well,
you.
Well, and like this was like a, I mean, it starts out with a broken family, which that would not happen in the 60s.
I know.
Like that wouldn't be the case. Like,
so that was another thing I really liked about it. They were not a perfect family. Like no, it wasn't like mom and dad are always happily, you know, ever after type of thing. And all the kids are just happy. And then all these unfortunate things happen to this, you know, this happy family. It was just they're decent people.
Yeah.
And luck just craps on their faces once or twice during
they got shit on a lot, but then they've also did shady stuff too. Where like the mom,
like what's her? Yeah, what's her deal?
She, you know, whatever she downloaded for somebody to get her son in on the ship.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's pretty shady dealings.
It is.
I'm pretty sure the kids got their own, like...
Craziness going on,
or probably will, like, get into that. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
how the doctor kind of goes through her PTSD type thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we'll probably see that character progression later. More, you know what I mean? Like,
hopefully.
Hopefully, if we get another season. Well, that's the thing with, like, the movie is, like, Will, for example... The character Will was like, he was an actual genius. Well, or he was just like super smart in the movie, as opposed to here, he was just an average kid. Who, I mean, he was smart about some things. Oh, that's true. He was smart.
He's just a coward.
No, put him on the coward.
He was afraid, so he couldn't. Okay, yeah, coward might have been a strong word, but like he had the book smarts, but
in a crisis situation, he couldn't do it. It was a physical test that he failed. You're right. I missed that. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he's a smarty. Yeah, he couldn't. He couldn't. He buckled under pressure.
Yes, that's what it was.
Buckled under pressure.
He was a punk. That's what it was.
And one big difference, and this is one thing that I want to know, which is closer, the Netflix show, the movie, to the original, is the character Jim West. I think it's Jim West. No, last name's West.
I think Jim West is...
That's Wild West, isn't it?
Think about Don?
Yeah, Don West.
Okay, all right. I was going to say, Jim West is
that's Will Smith.
It's Wild Wild West, yeah.
Wild Wild
West. That's Desperado. Don West, I want to know, because in the Netflix show, he's a mechanic.
Okay, that's
he's
what
an engineer.
I thought you were talking about.
In the movie, he's like a soldier. He's the pilot.
He's like the captain of the ship or something.
He's the pilot.
Yeah.
He's the military.
I'd call the captain.
Well, no, because the
pilot's a ship, the captain.
The dad was the captain of the crew. He was just the pilot until they got into a combat situation. Mm-hmm. And then as an actual like corporal or whatever his rank was, he was able to pull rank.
Yeah, because I remember
on it. Yeah.
It was Matt LeBlanc.
LeBlanc, yeah. Which Aaron and I were watching like clips of it.
The trailer
of it the other night, and the scene, remember his helmet, how it would like unfold from his collar?
Yes,
Power Ranger that. Come down or
yeah
whatever,
like
or Iron
it was
Man
cool.
The yeah. C and looking watching it now, the CG like still holds up, like
Does
it doesn't look cheesy, like it still looks good, it looks Iron Man,
you know. Watching this the whole time, I was telling Aaron too, it's like I got this like Mass Effect vibe, like the way they like the set productions, the way that the CGI, the robot from the damn Land Rovers or whatever, the Makos.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I want a Mass Effect show because it's possible now.
It is possible.
You're making it possible for me to believe that they can do a show right.
Well, I mean, that'd be because you got to think there's other alien races on there. So there's a lot of CG.
Oh, yeah.
Because I mean, you could do makeup for
you get prosthetics.
Prosthetics. Wow. That'd be a little pricey.
For Netflix, though? Netflix has that money.
For Netflix, yeah. Netflix,
Netflix has money.
That's sneezing money right there.
I want to know... I'm really hoping that they get another season. I hope it comes out soon.
I really hope they do, too. Because, I mean, I hope that they don't just, like, fade away into nothing. Because they didn't, like, leave it on, like, I guess a huge, huge cliffhanger. But they left it on something enough to work off of. Like, it's not something that they could just be like, oh, well, we're not doing this anymore. Like, yeah.
I feel like that was a pretty big cliffhanger.
Danger Will Robinson?
Yeah. I think that's a pretty big cliffhanger.
I don't know. We'll see where all goes. We haven't had any confirmation. Anybody Google that?
I haven't.
I haven't either.
It sucks.
Let's find out.
Freaking sucks, because like I didn't see anything on there. And then it was like, as soon as I was done, I was like, if you like this show, you might like this show. And it showed The New Legend of the Monkey.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see it. But seen the tab,
uh-huh,
whatever, to click on it. I just didn't.
Yeah, I was like,
According to an article on The Verge, as of 2 days ago, Lost in Space is coming back for a second season on Netflix.
Good. There it is.
Good. It's about time. Good TV shows didn't get canceled.
Start filming right now.
Yeah, it just says it's coming. Does it say when?
All right.
But that's good. I mean, that's a pretty big cliffhanger to leave off on.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a actual danger?
Yeah, they're going to
because when the robot says, "That's danger, get the hell out of there," because that's danger.
Yeah,
he's trying to protect you.
That's where the robot is from.
So maybe I missed something. Because
did you see where he drew the symbol?
No, I missed. Scene? I mean, I saw that.
Okay,
I'm talking about.
So that's a memory.
Where's the robot now?
With them on the ship.
With them.
Yeah, but like, who is he loyal to?
He's not loyal. He's loyal to the family.
Okay, how did that go back?
Okay, so the big fight between the other robot.
Okay, yeah, right? The second one that came on.
The second one that came on, right? And then they were about to leave, and then the original robot turned and saw Will about to die. And basically that triggered something, and he saved Will and then fought off the other robot.
Didn't he get hit, though? He had got hit by something, I thought. I thought he had
got Will got hit.
Oh, you know what? Hang on. Now that I'm thinking about it, maybe the robot's not with them.
No, the robot is. Ooh,
because remember, he flew out with the other one to save the family.
He threw him out.
And then they couldn't get the door back open. Will had to go outside and get the door and then climb over
the other side. He had that whole thing with like him coming back to save Will and then sacrificing himself, basically.
Yeah.
That's what I would call it. To save the whole family.
So, yeah.
So I don't know, but I mean, it did click in his head.
It went back to
yeah,
Mr. yeah, because he knew who Will was.
So, and then I think what it is when they after they go through
the portal,
they see the star system, and Will has the flashback.
Yeah,
to he goes, "So that's danger."
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Right. It makes sense. I can't, but I'm glad it's coming back. So we'll get all those questions answered and more with the most unluckiest family in the galaxy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but that was the only thing. That was my only gripe about the whole thing is.
It needs more Shang Tsung. That's
how dare you, sir?
That's my gripe.
I literally did.
Needs more.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like. That is Shang Tsung. I don't care what anybody says.
I forgot the actor's name, but he is.
It's Shang Tsung.
He's a genius and everything.
It's clearly Shang Tsung. Like, he has no other.
Yeah,
he has no other thing. We got a lot of gaming news today, people. A ton of crap just came out, and we're gonna go over it as soon as I email it to myself. Nope, I got it right here.
We're professionals. This is not our first time.
Pause button. Just freeze frame.
Yeah, everybody just stand still. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Rage 2 brings a action Doom type of trailer out. Bethesda's initial teaser of Rage 2 may have been a hype on Short Substance, but it's making up for that with a full announcement. The team is between original Rage creators id Softwares and Avalanche Studios, best known for Just Cause and Mad Max, promises to bring significant expansion of the first game's post-apocalyptic open-world concept. The premise is familiar. You're still fighting gangs, mutants, and oppressive authority through a mix of foot shooting and vehicular combat, but the mechanics have changed. Even at the early stages, it's clear that the title is borrowing a page from Doom's book, probably with those over-the-top executions. Cool. I only got to see the teaser trailer, and then people putting kind of like GIFs and stuff like that of the actual trailer online. Your character, the Elite Ranger Walker, thrives on an overdrive mechanic that rewards aggressive gameplay. Wow, they want you to see.
They really want you to get into it.
They're giving you you politicians that are saying video games are bad, more ammo right there. That's what they're doing.
Basically.
Like, this game wants you to be aggressive, wants you to kill people.
In the game, so you don't do it in real life.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. You never know. Could be on a future episode of a podcast we're talking about murderers and stuff like that. I don't know. Think of it as a sequel to Doom's glory kill system, where we previously received just health and ammo. Overdrive also amps your gun abilities and increases the chances of better rewards for from fallen enemies. The longer you can stay in overdrive mode, the better your chances of winning fights that could otherwise seem hopeless. Ooh. You know what? I've always liked games where it seems like there's no hope, you know? What? And then all of a sudden, some like X Factor pops in and you could wipe out a whole bunch of people. I don't know. It just seems dope to me.
What's another game that does that?
Banjo-Kazooie. No. Like, okay, so like, take Smite, for example. When we play that and we go down by a big margin, but then somehow pull it back and win.
Okay, that's different.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but that is us getting our shit together. And coming out
playing through as a team.
That's not like all of a sudden we get a star that falls from the sky and we're invincible.
Well,
and
no,
we can do
it's not
we
that
want
you get just a,
that's the X factor that you're talking about.
You don't
though.
Get a star from the sky.
It's
just staying in that overdrive mode where you're insane or whatever. I guess like Mad Max where the dudes were huffing paint and then going out into war.
Witness.
Yeah, like that's what I'm thinking. This is the type of thing. It says it's a way to keep the gameplay frantic, which is more than a little appropriate in this game's over-the-top action. And it's clearly inspired by Mad Max. Maximilian. Other upgrades promises a greater variety of environments. There are swamplands, jungles, in addition to seemingly omnipresent deserts. The nanotrite abilities can push enemies back, wipe out or wipe them out in a slam attack. The game will reach the PS4, Xbox One, and the PC sometime in 2019, with more info expected from Bethesda during this E3. Ooh. And they're not going to do the same thing like they did with Fallout, guys, so don't get excited for any like...
And you can pick up the game tomorrow.
The game is here tomorrow.
Visit us at the booth and pick up the game today.
Yeah.
Today. Speaking of, I saw a quote on IGN's Instagram.
Uh-huh.
From one of the developers at Gearbox saying, I can just plainly tell you flat out that Borderlands 3 will not be at E3, but you're not going to believe me.
Which want to kick him in his nads, one. Because that is the only thing that I want to see from
E3.
From E3, really. Like, I don't think anything else.
It's not going to be at E3. They're going to do their own conference.
It's going to be the Gearbox Con.
Stream it online. You know what I mean? So it's not like you can buy tickets and go. They're going to be in the office and be like, Gears of War 3, everybody. And then show you a trailer. That's like a Nintendo. You know what I mean?
I'd rather have something like Nintendo or have something like that than what the crap that Bethesda put out last year.
I didn't mind Bethesda's.
It's just trailers.
I actually don't remember. What else are you...
There was no like presentation or anything.
Skits? You want SNL? What are you expecting?
Yeah, Steven. Yeah, I want them to do SNL.
With Cliff Blazinski, Randy Pitchford.
Yeah. Screw gameplay trailers. I want skits of the gameplay.
You want
developers to do skits.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That's going to bring back E3, everybody.
It's E3.
E3. You got the saxophone. Yeah, because that's what E3 will turn into.
What's going to save E3.
Live from L.A.
His special guest, Kenan Thompson.
Because, of course, he's got to be there.
He's in every skit show.
Yeah, he's in everything.
Every skit show.
Who's the musical guest?
Musical guests are, I don't know.
Childish Gambino.
There you go.
Yeah, Childish Gambino.
He's just shooting
developers.
He's just shooting developers. He said, this is developers.
It's coming.
This is developers. Bam.
It's coming out at undisclosed time. Bang!
Oh, man. That would actually go quite well with a lot of trailers, though.
I'm just saying.
That song. So I'm just, I mean.
I think we need to make this happen. This is what's going to save E3.
Right, E3 turning into an SNL parody, basically.
SNL skits. Yeah.
Okay. I can do it.
Musical guest. Childish Gambino.
Duty Pants McGee said, "Here's the thing about Wasteland video games. Starting a fire in a game isn't satisfying enough." Okay, so you've got some arson problems, my guy. You might want to work that out.
There's a number for you to call.
Yeah.
Stick around after the show. We'll
yeah. It's a little crazy this one is.
If there's any cops in the chat room, watch that guy.
a little sad news, everybody.
Oh.
I took the...
Just bring it down.
I took the news story from our little private chat. Lawbreaker Studios boss Key shuts down, everybody.
Oh.
After, I think, 40 years? I'm not sure. Anyway, Boss Key Productions, the studio founded by Unreal and Gears of War designer Cliff Bleszinski, or Cliffy B., has shut down. The small company spent years making competitive shooter Lawbreakers.
Terrible.
But when the game fizzled, the studio sped out of the game show-esque shooter Radical Heights to tap into the Battle Royale craze. They really tried to go Battle Royale?
Yeah.
We did a story, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing that was out. Like, I saw no trailers for it, no nothing.
Oh. Wait, it is out. Right? Is that what you just said? Because I thought we were reporting on it coming out eventually. I didn't know it was out now.
Lawbreakers?
I saw something on like the PlayStation that said download Radical Heights.
Yeah,
was the only.
Oh yeah, yeah, that Radical Heights
game. That new game. Yeah.
I don't even think it's Lawbreakers. It was just like a little.
What's weird is Lawbreakers was so big at last E3.
Yeah, they tried to promote the crap out of it at places, but
it just goes to show you Corey what can
promoted
change
the crap out of it too.
You know, that sound clip,
every chance he got.
But the problem is, like, if you couldn't look at that game right off the bat and tell that it wasn't going to be anything worth the CD it's printed on, like,
damn,
you can see it though.
Probably Blu-ray,
and I mean, yeah,
and no. But I'm gonna we'll turn it around.
That's
after this.
Why it flopped, because they printed them on CDs,
CDRs,
CD-ROMs instead of Blu-rays. Okay.
They put out cartridges.
We'll flip it around in another story after this one. But Bleszinski, wrote in a public open letter on Twitter, stating after 4 years ago, or he says, as of today, Boss Key Productions is effectively no more. 4 years ago, I set out to make the world class video game studio, and I hired some of the best in talent video game industry. They work tirelessly and produce quality product. Questionable. We had our ups and downs. I like to think that we had fun doing it. Lawbreakers was a great game. Wow, you're overstating some things here, sir.
Well, it's close to his heart. So
that
I mean,
unfortunately failed to gain traction. And in its last-ditch attempt, we scrambled to do our take on a huge battle royale called Radical Heights, which was well-received. However, it was too little too late. For myself, I'm going to take some time to reflect. I need to focus on myself, my family, as well as my Aussie?
Posse.
And A-U-S-S-I-E, sir.
Yeah, it's Aussie.
Apparently his Australian people.
Yeah, it's Aussie. You guys don't have your own?
No.
That's called slavery.
Video games will forever be a part of who I am, and I hope to make something new again someday. However, I need to withdraw and take some time. It's always sad to see somebody that loves doing what they want to do and then have to give it up for a little bit.
Oh,
you know what
I'm saying? I'm trying to think back to Lawbreakers gameplay. Was that the one that looked a lot like Overwatch?
No.
A lot of the characters looked like Overwatch? No. What
gameplay was like Overwatch, but it didn't look like Overwatch.
That was the one where you can like swing and...
They had characters.
Yeah, the guy that shoots backwards.
Gameplay. That's what I mean. Like they had some characters that were like Overwatch. Like you had a speedster in there. There was one that was almost an identical Reaper.
Yeah,
I remember that. Right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of the same game, right?
Are you thinking of that? Or are you thinking of
Paragon? Paladins? No, I'm not thinking Paladins because I remember thinking because it was more of a realistic take on Overwatch.
Yeah, it's a more realistic look, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to it at all. So
they had the rocket jumper guy.
Yeah.
The guy that can, like, shoot the ground and blow himself gross.
Wow. I was just glazed right past that. What's the next story?
It's so much funnier when he catches it himself.
I know, right?
But there is some goodish news.
Where's the good news? Hey, Tommy.
Cliff Bleszinski tosses out a bunch of his unused ideas on Twitter. Yeah. That's why I'm saying kind of goodish.
So, all right, guys. All right. Will and stick. All right. That's the new game I'm developing.
Because it was
just a will and a stick.
It's a strange thing where it's like, okay, I lost my job. Or I didn't lose my job. I'm leaving my job. And
I kind of lost his job.
Well, yeah. I mean
he kind of lost his fucking developing company.
Just trying to soften the blow for the guy, guys. Right, jeez, why don't you just kick him in the nuts while he's down?
Life
jeez.
Doesn't pull punches.
Clearly.
It just keeps beating you and beating you and beating you. Kind of like the Robinsons.
Exactly.
That's what it all comes down to. They just beat you to death.
Exactly. But he goes on and he's like, hey, here's all the ideas that I had, which is pretty freaking dope that he did that. Now, it's not saying that
until somebody makes that game, it blows up, then he wants residuals.
I don't know if these are like licensed, like if he put any patents or anything like that. Like
he TM'd them.
Like, I don't get how all this works. But here, take a listen. Take a small listen. Of course, a couple of days ago, he got he posted what I just said. And then he went on to Twitter and was like, hey, guys, if you're interested, here's some of the ideas that Boss Key, you know, had under the old belt here. The first one is something Bleszinski called Dragonflies. It includes ninja-like player character. It says includes a ninja-like player character based in airships riding dragons into battle against the undead. His Twitter reads, "Here's one of the games I wanted to do, codenamed Dragonflies. Basically, you are a ninja / samurai in an airship riding dragons fighting zombies with friends in a PvE feudal punk setting on floating islands. The airships equal your aircraft carriers." The dragons equal your planes. So
should have came out with that instead of Radical Heights there, buddy.
I was literally thinking about that. Whenever he tweeted it, I was like, you probably should have pushed that one forward,
this
bro.
This is the problem with trends. This is why you don't follow trends, because when the Overwatch comes out, or you know, your Fortnite and PUBGs come out.
Yeah.
You know, those are top of the market. You're not going to come in and just conquer something that has that developer, or not developer, that following.
But here's the thing, Steven. Here's the thing you're forgetting. If Pepsi and Coke came out, they're the number one colas, right? Going back and forth.
Yeah.
Then how do you explain Shasta?
It's for the man on a budget.
Somebody's got to take that chance, you know?
Mr. McFrugal, right?
Like, somebody's got to go out there. You know, the success of Shasta proves it. Like, you can have...
Well, see, and I think it's well known that like all those companies have those. They actually own the smaller cola company.
Yeah, we all know.
And release them because that's how they make money. It's kind of like same thing with TVs. You know, Samsung owns like I think they own like Vizio or something like that. They own those TVs and they sell them for cheaper, but you're getting the same guts. You know what I mean? Okay. It's all conspiracy theories, guys.
Said welcome to
conspiracy. They're poisoning the water hole.
Conspiracy bang, everybody. No, wow. Started that off early.
It's escalated.
Yeah, it escalated very quickly. Bleszinski indicated an estimate of working budget for that title to be $40 million. Shut
Whoa,
up.
For Radical Heights?
Or no.
For Lawbreakers?
No, for Dragonflies.
Oh.
He said the concept.
$40
million? Yeah. He said the concept was pitched to Activision, 2K, Electronic Arts, EA, Microsoft, and Sony, and Warner Brothers, but Boss Key was never able to get anyone interested. Lots of the concept art was created for those presentations. At least some of it was included. At least some of it included the work from Sean Lin, if anybody knows who that is.
Here's my game. It's called Dragonflies. All right. So what you do is you're on a dirigible.
The mic right? In it.
Right? And then when the zombies attack, you jump on your dragons, all right? Because apparently these dirigibles are bigger than freaking dragons.
Well, I'm trying to figure out, because he's like, you fight zombies, but I'm like, if everybody's up in the air anyway, how are the zombies getting you?
Just let them fall to the ground.
Just like, yeah. How are they getting up all these things?
Like, so, and that's when the necromancer comes into play. So now he has him flying on clouds. Zombie clouds.
Lots Sheep says Dragonfly sounds like a Tom Cruise movie. Could be. Or Dragonfly, excuse me. Yeah, Dragonfly sounds like a Tom Cruise movie. I could see him starting that.
I think it was a Kevin Costner movie, wasn't it?
Special Case says, here's a better question. Dr. Pepper or Mr. Pibb? Dr. Pibb.
Yeah. Mix the two.
Mr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you tell the difference?
Can you tell the difference? Because I can't. Except for the design of the can and everything. Let's see. He said, to go on about the game, he said the goal, he said, was to learn from the mistakes of Lair. I don't know if you remember that game.
Yeah.
Web, you don't remember Lair?
No.
It was a PS3 launch title.
Launch title.
They tried to use the six-axis control.
God, that was horrible.
And it was bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says, poorly received Dragonflight-based combat game from Factor 5. The publisher... I was published by Sony as an exclusive in 2007. Other inspirations included Platinum Games Scalebound, which was canceled at Microsoft's January 2. You really thought that was going to go?
I was excited for that one. I'm not even going to lie.
For what?
Because for one, they said it was going to be 4 players co-op.
Okay.
And they showed the different, they showed like 2 different giant monsters, whatever. I don't want to say dragons, because one of them had 4 legs, no wings. So it was like... It's like, all right, because a long time ago I played this game called Drakengard.
Drakengard, yes. Drakengard. I remember Drakengard, yes.
And it was cool because it was Dynasty Warriors, but you got this giant fucking dragon.
Yeah.
And it was dope. It was, like, it was extremely fun. And then I heard the sequel wasn't as good, and then I think that it came out the third one that didn't really do so well either. But I had fun with that game. It had different, different endings as well. And it was Dynasty Warriors. So any type of game like that, it was brilliant. And so this one seemed like it was going to be Devil May Cry meets that game. And I was just excited to have a giant dragon companion. And then some sweet Beats by Dre on my head.
That's the part.
I'm tearing up these demons.
That's the part that threw me off. They're like, okay, he's went on a headphone. All right, let's dial it back a hot second, sir. What was the other one that Mr. Blazinski also pitched? The other one, actually, this one was actually pretty interesting. I thought this one was kind of cool. Sorry, my thing went down. Another concept was codenamed Dog Walkers, where DOG stands for Destructive Ordnance on Ground. It was initially intended to be a virtual reality multiplayer tank combat game with 5-man crew. And a 5 crew match. So here's what they plan. It's a VR game codenamed Rover, but it was shaping up to be Dog Walkers. Dog stood for Destructive Ordnance, okay. Inspired by World War II tank crew / battles / the movie Fury, starring, what's his name?
Tom Cruise.
No. You threw me off. Brad Pitt, thank you.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Terrible. And it's supposed to be a 5v5v5v5v5 Zoids looking walker fighting it out.
Oh, walker tanks?
Yes.
But the walker tanks
are manned by 5 people. So 5 players are in that tank.
So we all get control of the Megazord.
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes.
I'm interested already.
Again.
I'm interested. I like the name. The name sounds dumb, but
Dog Walkers.
I mean, you could work on the name.
Yeah, well, the writers can figure that out. But I like the idea of controlling a Megazord.
And here's the problem, Cliff.
It's called Team MechWarrior. That's all it is.
Why didn't you go with that, Cliff?
Yeah, that's different.
Why didn't you go with that one?
From all these other shooters that are out.
Yeah,
it's team based, so you can clearly go esports if you make it well enough. The combat's there.
Yeah, it's Cliffy. You're disappointing me, man.
It avenues, man.
You're disappointing me.
But you know what? He's probably gonna go back, start making that Gears money again.
Well, he's taking a break, like we said. He's taking a break.
That's code for I need to ask. I forgot Gears, what company that was, but
I don't know. Last one that he said, of course, was codenamed Donuts. He described it as a successor to a game called Tubin. Never heard of it.
Okay.
I finally remembered Atari Classic published in 1988.
Tubin, man.
Yeah.
That's when you're getting pulled on the back of a boat.
Okay.
Playing a tuba.
It's like, what's that damn game? Like Jet Moto.
I mean, you're basically on it, because it says where players ride inside inner tubes.
Oh, shit.
Tubin.
It's a Tubin.
It was supposed to be a VR title, he said. That's about it.
Jet Moto, but with inner tubes.
You can go to Bliff Klesinski's Twitter, and you can check out all the art, the little artwork that he put up for the games and stuff like that, to see what could have been and is no longer there anymore. Sorry, guys. Moving on, Japan gets a golden NES classic dedicated to old anime games. When Nintendo promised to revive the NES Classic Edition and the SNES Classic Editions, we didn't expect the company to do it in this way. In a celebration of Japan's manga magazine, Weekly Jump, Nintendo will release a special gold and red Famicom mini NES preloaded with 20 games that were based on the mangas from the magazine. As spotted by Kotaku, the mini console will be released in Japan on July 7th. And if you really want one, your best bet is to probably keep your eye on eBay or find a friend who lives in Japan. You know a lot of people in Japan there, Web?
Yeah. Why'd you say Japan at first?
Japan is the enemy.
No.
He's going to be the enemy of, what was it, Big Trouble Little Chinatown, the sequel?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
instead of Lopan, it's his brother, Japan.
Japan, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a lot of friends in Japan. A lot of friends in Japan.
And you can get you one. I don't know how many yen it's going to cost.
It's going to be 3 million yen.
3 million yen.
Yeah, huh? It's like $3 here.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Resident Evil film team is making a Monster Hunter movie, everybody. Yeah, so get ready for some Mila Jovovich and some dinosaur hides.
So she just survived the zombie apocalypse now. 12 times. But now...
Nah.
We're adding a T-Rex.
Yeah. And then zombie T-Rex.
You just cue the Godzilla like roar. Yeah. And then she just like has like a bone sword.
What kind of Godzilla? Yeah.
Everybody knows that sound. Everybody knows that one. Web. Everybody knows that sound.
I know the sound. Yeah.
I can't mimic it.
But your impression of it.
Okay. I'm not a singer. All right. I don't go into the studios and start singing Godzilla themes.
Right. It's an iconic sound.
Yeah,
I know exactly. Because they use it in like Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
with the
like,
T-Rex.
It's yeah. It was so iconic. Whenever the first trailer came out,
for the latest one,
I think it was. Yeah, and I don't know. Was it the one with Malcolm in the Middle? Breaking Bad Dad.
Yeah, Walter White, the latest one.
That's the latest one. Okay. Yeah. So when that one came out. And I remember watching that trailer, and I was like, I'm never going to go see this movie anyway. It doesn't matter. And, like, it's, like, dark, and then you see Godzilla for the first time, and they play the classic sound. I was like, I got chills. I was like, wow, this is good. Like,
yeah.
You feel it in your bones and your gut.
I'm like, that was that's pretty good. All right, Godzilla, go, good on you. Has nothing to do with the story, Resident Evil and Monster Hunter.
I was going to say, I lost, what were we talking about?
First of all, Lost Sheep. It was not a fail. It was gold.
What the?
You're welcome.
Oh,
well, my Godzilla.
Twitch clipping.
It probably already is. I'm pretty sure pocket's in there somewhere.
Let's see. We last heard that Monster Hunter the movie was still in the works for September 2016, but of course that didn't come to fruition.
2 years later,
the world might have sped things up if they gave it more support. According to the Variety, the film adaptation was snagged by Paul W.S. Anderson and Mila Jovovich, who directed. And started in the Resident Evil movies.
Wait, she directed one?
Apparently.
She directed 13.
It says starred and directed respectively in the long-running Resident Evil movie. So she starred in it. Paul W.S. Anderson, I think, directed.
That happens, actually happens a lot in it with franchises that go a long time.
They just go with the same people.
Like the actors end up starting to like direct, like The Office, for example. By the end of The Office, a lot of the actors in The Office were actually producers and directors on the show as
probably
well, and
John
writers.
Krasinski did his first.
Exactly, I'm sure he directed at least one, if not more, episodes.
Yeah,
316. I'll take that. He said it sounded like Godzuki.
There you go.
And Godzuki was a beast.
Yeah, they had what's the guy from New Girl with the broken nose.
The guy in New Girl with the broken nose.
You talking about Schmidt?
No, not Schmidt.
I was going to say, he didn't have broken nose.
Nick, yeah. He directed some of the episodes.
He did, yeah. You're right.
I remember they had him on that YouTube. They were like, so what's it like directing some of your friends? Was it hard? He's like, no.
I tell him what to do all the time.
All right.
Friends are idiots.
The untitled Monster Hunter movie will start production in September with a $60 million budget. This movie is going to be crap.
What do you think they're going to call it?
And will be filmed in South Africa.
Oh, yeah, because that's where all monsters originated.
Yep. Wow.
That came out. Really bad. That's not what I meant.
Let's switch to racist care.
Right, you know when you like gonna say, oh, that's where all life started? That's what it was supposed to be like.
Okay,
but then I said it and I was like, oh shit, I can't take this back.
Yep. Okay, wait, is it South? So wait, just, you said South Africa, right?
I did.
Isn't South Africa like the white part of Africa?
Africa is all black. There's white people down there, definitely. And it was colonized by the
colonizers.
You meant the colonizers.
Yeah, I meant the white people of Africa.
Okay.
That's what I thought. Yeah. To be 100% honest. That's where I thought you were going with it. And then when I actually replayed it in my mind, I was like,
he's a racist.
No, I'm going to back off support for this.
So this is in.
That's hilarious.
Stephen's stocks go up horrible. In tiki torches.
Gotta keep them sailing.
So not just keeping mosquitoes away, Stephen, but black people away.
chasing out the... No.
Jeez.
That's horrible.
You should be ashamed for what you just said.
A little bit. But you know what? It's out there. I can't take it back, so I gotta just own it.
Speaking of Africa, I got my whatchamacallit back.
Your ancestry.
My ancestry.
How was that? Like, what were the percentages?
Not really shocking.
No.
I mean, I knew a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
I know my grandfather was half white, so 50%, of course, him. Mother is going to be 25, correct?
Yeah.
So that drops down to about 13 or, 14 for me or whatever, right? Or 12 or 13, right? So I knew that was coming. I didn't know from where, though.
Yeah.
So the majority, and I have it right up here on my phone, the majority is 33% Nigeria.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Is that the high? That's the highest.
That's the highest.
That's okay. Okay.
Then it goes 21% Cameroon. Then it goes 14% Benin, Togo. Have no idea. I didn't know it was Togo's place.
Hold on.
What? You Googling?
No, I'm trying to. Isn't that Tobago?
It's not Trinidad. You're thinking Trinidad? Trinidad. Oh, Trinidad. Oh, yeah. No. This is Benin, Togo. It's in Africa as well. And then Mali.
Okay.
8% Mali. Then it goes down to one that clearly was somebody that I know. Scandinavian, 7%.
That's
pretty high.
7%
Scandinavian. Yeah.
Okay.
So technically, isn't that like Viking territory?
That is, to be exact, Scandinavia's is Norway, Sweden, and Denmark.
Hey!
You're Swedish.
Norway, Sweden, and Denmark.
Yeah.
Then you go.
You're Swedish.
Then you go 4% Senegal. So you go right back down to Africa.
Hey, Corey's from Senegal.
Holy crap! So you're more.
Hey, you and Corey
are definitely not related because it would have popped up. It shows you your matches too.
I'm just saying.
Then it goes 4% Great Britain.
Oh, there you go. There's your London.
Yeah.
I think we know where that's from.
Where's that from? What is that?
You're tracing that way back.
It goes to a certain point, Aaron.
Terrible.
Certain point.
Then it goes down lower to the south.
That's probably where the Scandinavian came from.
3% South African, 3% Ivory Coast, 1% East or Europe West, and then 1% African Southern Eastern Bantu. Then less than 1% Ireland, Scotland, Wales. Yeah. So after I did all the math and everything like that,
so you're Scandinavian. About 77%
African. About 77% African,
Okay.
And then the rest is all European. So that's
interesting, though.
That's the makeup of Sir Aaron Carter. Now you know where I was knighted. Bantu Africa. That's
what I was going to say Norway.
I don't know.
Ms. Monik says 23% white.
That's what Nismonic is?
No, that's what he's saying you are. He's saying...
You did the math all wrong.
Well, you said 77... Oh, no, so you're... He's it would be no. Yeah, he's right. 77% African.
Oh no! Yeah, yeah, no, 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 yeah, no, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking. Nothing. Never mind. Never mind. Yes.
You were reversing it, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. I was reversing it. Good mass. Clearly, you are 90% Asian.
Damn. Damn. Wait, but that's his mnemonic. Isn't that supposed to be Corey?
Yeah, it's Corey's all. Account. Yeah. He didn't show up. It's after Corey showed up.
So. It is true.
It's true.
That's very much true.
It's true.
Again, none of this had to do with the Resident Evil makers making a Monster Hunter movie.
Oh, crap. I forgot that we were talking about that.
The untitled Monster Hunter movie.
We needed a quick escape.
Of course, will be taking place in South Africa, per Variety reports. The company behind the film, Constantine, envisions it as the first in a series. Given the 7-entry Resident Evil movie. 7 entries to that freaking movie?
I told you there's a lot of them.
And it just raked in over 1 billion. It took 7 movies to rake in over a billion. Didn't like the Avengers and Black Panther do that already?
Yeah, but
it's
a different quality scale, Aaron.
Avengers is at 1.6 billion right now.
Freaking still ridiculous. Making money.
Fifth highest in, I think, history.
Yeah, globally.
It's a shrewd move to mimic that success of another beloved Capcom game series. The news didn't reveal when the first film was slated to debut. I didn't even really put that connection together, that Resident Evil and Monster Hunter are both Capcom games.
I didn't realize that until right now.
Yeah.
There you go. So they're trying to make that little green paper from Capcom games.
You know what the sad thing is, though?
What is that?
Is that we couldn't even hold on enough interest for that story long enough to get that out in one turn.
That's true. So that movie's going to be the same thing. Sitting in the theater and be like, did you see that other movie over there?
Hey, yeah, speaking of Africa.
Say, anybody see that new Avengers movie? Yeah.
Is that a T-Rex? You seen Jurassic World? Jurassic World's playing in the next theater over there. Let's go. Then come back. What were we watching? What was this?
What was that? Oh, yeah.
So why do I have this ticket stuff for a movie I never watched?
So this is Monster Hunter. I didn't buy that game. All right. Is Mila Jovovich going to be in it? They didn't say that. Because she has to star in it.
She's going to.
Yeah, she's got to star in it. Nintendo giving fans an easier way to try Super Smash Brothers on the Switch at E3, everybody. By not going. Nintendo's
game. They just got them to Best Buys like they did the
Might as well.
Before.
Yeah, just do that. Just invest in every, major thing and have people flood, those locations. If I was like Walmart or Target or something like that, I would try to pay them. Be like, hey, come do a little special thing in my shop. In my little mom and pop shop.
I'm from a little mom and pop shop. It's called Best Buy.
Yeah. And
maybe you heard of us.
Maybe you haven't.
Yeah. We'll set up a little booth, a little E3 looking booth for the fans to come in.
What's an E3 looking booth?
We just clear out. We clear out a section, mainly in the DVDs because nobody's going there.
Right.
We set out a couple of units, PlayStation units, PlayStation, but stations.
Right.
Stations to play.
Yeah.
Correct. We have a cosplayer or two.
Oh, Sarah, are there booth babes?
Yep. There's gotta be. You gotta have your giant head Mario guy doing his thing there. Hey, yeah. Mario, get the hell away from me, kid.
Nailed it.
And, I'm an Italian plumber.
And then we give away pennies to the kids, right?
Just pennies.
That's what kids like, right?
Start collecting money.
I think you'd be kind of cool.
The microtransactions.
You get people to play the games firsthand.
Yeah.
And you get people into your store.
Yeah.
Win-win.
Win-win.
Win-win situation. What were we on? Nintendo giving it either way. Nintendo's gameplay booth has been among the most highly trafficked at E3 since the show opened to the public, which is the biggest mistake they could have done.
Yes.
The company organized that. We forget people who bum rush the show floor as soon as it opens the past 2 years. Did you experience that at E3? The bum rushers?
No, because we got in before they were in there, so I didn't really see it.
You got at least, the LA Convention Center, there's the steps like right up front, right? You got to stand at the top of the steps and watch the rush come in time. It's more entertaining than the whole show. More entertaining than the whole show.
People tripping each other.
Exactly. It's like a zombie apocalypse going through for like the first 5 minutes. And it's just like, really, guys?
Yeah.
Nintendo goes to say, to shorten the time, fans will need to wait in line to try it. Nintendo invites E3 attendees to reserve play slots ahead of time or just this game.
What are you getting, Fast Pass tickets?
Yeah, you are.
Well, so PlayStation did this last year.
How did that work?
You downloaded horribly. You downloaded the PlayStation Experience app, and it was like after a certain time, you can go in and you can reserve gameplay slots for the next day. For most games, if you didn't have a reservation, you were not playing that game.
Really?
There was no way you were going to get in to play that game. You couldn't just wait. You couldn't wait and see if people didn't show up and just take their slot.
So like Sony guards or something like that? Or were just booth babes that just can't play?
There's Sony guards.
They'll probably be, sorry,
the one,
play.
Yeah.
I just know Krav Maga.
I just
know. You can't.
The one that they let me into was the Spider-Man.
Okay.
And I was like, sweet, okay, like I'd be happy. It was just a theater where you watch gameplay.
Aww.
There was no actual, yeah. But like
fools you.
Call of Duty, World War II.
Uh-huh.
That they were there, and there were empty slots because people didn't show up, but you couldn't just jump in.
That's stupid. If nobody's playing the game, let people play.
Here is where the kicker is. When that time goes on to sit there and reserve your spot,
uh-huh.
The app crashes because there's so many people trying to get on at the same time.
Yeah.
Not to mention, so what it is it's you're reserving a time slot X amount of time ahead. So like it's like 2 hours ahead of time, right? So when at a certain time these slots open up, and at a certain time these slots open up, so. If you're trying to get like the late afternoon slots, you're at the convention at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you've been to the LA Convention Center, especially, you know, around that time, there's no service.
There isn't.
It's horrible service. So not only is the app crashing, but you don't have service. So by the time you get in there, try to refresh the app, get to the game that you want, wait for it to load because you don't have service, get in there, it's done.
It's a game in itself.
It's a game.
It's a mini game in itself right there.
So it's horrible.
Thank you for playing Frustrating Game 2018. Yeah.
We'll see you next year for 2019. Yeah. Same game, same results.
By Nintendo this time. it says this should provide fans with a faster, smoother experience so they can play Super Smash Brothers and spend more time enjoying the rest of E3.
Yeah, because they'll be at Best Buy with the internet connection.
Yeah.
Registered E3 2018 attendees will receive information from the event organizer starting June 5th. With an email that outlines all possible opportunities to reserve play time with Smash Brothers. Only those who sign up in advance will be able to play the game at the show. They will receive their tickets as a QR code upon successful registration. The tickets will entitle players to checking out one of two modes, for fun or for glory. Huh, pretty cool. You won't be able to choose both, mind you, at the time registration. You must choose which one, you know, through the whole app or whatever, if you have any type of connection. Hopefully it goes a lot better than Nintendo's previous methods of letting everyone sit outside their booths all day long with their 3DSs and their Switch consoles until the batteries died. But, you know, that's one other thing. Like, if you ever go to
3DS,
you got to take a handheld.
Yeah.
And your
charger.
Your charger. And hope that you sit right next to an outlet when you're against the wall. Because they're like all against the wall. Everybody's just waiting. It's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
I felt like, and it's terrible that this company actually did it better. EA with their EA play.
Yeah.
They killed it whenever I. So when you went, EA play was there, right?
No, it was at its own thing.
But was it like right next door or was it far off?
It was kind of far off.
So they put theirs right next door the first year they did it.
Oh, yeah.
So it was dope because it was just like, okay, I can go here. And then I just quick walk to go into the
Across
E3.
The
yeah.
E3.
Yeah. No, this was like an Uber drive.
See, I think that's where they kind of messed up. The first time they did it, they did it in like some like nightclub hotel looking thing. I don't want to say it was like a bar nightclub thing. But they reserved all the floors.
Mm-hmm.
And the line, as long as the line was, it didn't feel like it went long. Like, I got in real fast.
Hmm.
I got to play Battlefield real quick. Got to play FIFA, Madden, all real fast. Got time to linger around.
Yeah.
And
so you can soak up the disappointment.
Yeah.
Got it.
So this last year it was outside and it was a drive. It was a drive from E3.
Okay.
But it took place like the 3 days leading up to E3, I think. Yeah. Or at least the day before E3. And then it was all outside and they had like storage containers.
Really?
Set up. And that's where, like, as, like, booths. And then you would go to this separate, you go and wait in line in each one. But you're outside, it's hot, like, they had
that's
food,
what
they
I
had
was literally about to ask you. Like, why would you use storage containers? You're outside, it's the middle of summer.
Yeah. It was,
you can make those things quite cozy if you
yeah, but
pay
you got
$5.
Thousands of look, bodies around you.
Luckily, Corey is, a decent social engineer. Actually, he's I'll give credit where credit's due. He's a great social engineer. He got us in to the VIP section, which was inside in the building, air conditioning.
I keep telling you guys, if you just walk into places like you belong there, you'll be in.
You act like nothing's wrong.
Not at E3.
Signed it. I did.
Did
I
you?
I got into a VIP at freaking EA Play. I just walked into the place. Remember I told you I looked around, I was like, I don't think I belong here.
But I'm here.
Everybody's wearing business suits.
Yeah.
But there are hors d'oeuvres over there, so I'm going to go snack one of these real quick.
Yeah.
I love little smokies.
But see, that's the way to do it, though. Like I say it all the time. That was the VIP stuff is the way to do it because they had tables, like it was a nightclub, and then games at their booths that they weren't even playing. They weren't even playing the game. They're sitting and talking to the other people next to them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this is okay.
Excuse me. Can I get in there? I'm going to play Battlefield.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, this charlatan doesn't belong here.
He plays games.
Get him out of here.
Yeah, nobody called me out on it. So, hey, what it is, what it do. And I think that was all the big news I have. I have a couple of bang bites.
Bang bites.
Yeah, a couple of them. Yep, Cliff Levinsky, we already talked about that. Lawbreaker shutdown. Yep.
Lawbreaker.
Shenmue 3 will apparently arrive in 2019, if you're interested,
not
everybody.
Soon enough.
Really? Did you like that original one?
I just played the first one. Never played the second one.
Isn't it basically the same
thing? Because
it was
on Xbox.
It's basically the same thing. What was the first one? Oh, Dreamcast, right?
Dreamcast.
That's right.
Yeah, you heard my Dreamcast story.
Gamecast. Yeah, you single-handedly destroyed the industry with pirating.
First of all, it was already dying. So
whatever helps you sleep at
if
night.
If anything, I
you
put
sped
the last
up the process.
Nail in the coffin.
Yeah, so you can't not take responsibility if he was already shot when I got here. I just put the bullet in his head.
I didn't commit the murder. Yeah, I just buried the body.
Yeah, sure.
That's what it was.
Discord nearly tripled its user base in 1 year, everybody.
No, think about it.
Tripled its user base in 1 year?
That's what it says.
Damn.
That's a lot of people using the Discord. Don't forget that we have a Discord, everybody.
Woo! We do have a Discord.
You can go to
partner Discord.
Yeah.
Clearest sounding quality on the net.
The crispest.
The crispiest, crispest apples of sound.
And you can't get in any of the freaking channels.
I hear some bitterness there. I gained all the channels.
Yeah, I mean, I
have
no
too,
problem.
Besides your stream one, it's the only one.
That's the only one. Coincidence.
Just made that one. Nerf will bring Overwatch to life with foam guns.
Nice.
You're going to get some Nerf guns.
Wait, some Overwatch Nerf guns?
Yes, sir.
No.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm buying Nerf guns.
E3.
I'm buying Nerf guns.
I was thinking there was going to be like a whole like, not paintball studio, obviously Nerf gun.
That'd be kind of cool though.
And then just like Overwatch theme.
Overwatch theme Nerf. This is Overwatch theme Nerf. Guns.
Oh, I'm so stoked for that.
It'll probably be like $30 a piece.
I don't care.
They already have the Reaper ones.
Do they? That's actually pretty dope.
It's just the pistol thing. They're hella big.
Oh, well, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I want licensed Overwatch.
Exactly. I was going to say, but if the company is actually making the actual thing, that's better.
I want to pay the extra $20 for the logo on the gun.
Everybody's just going to want Soldier 76s.
That's going to be a dope gun, actually, not going to lie.
Yeah, it's going to be sick.
It's gonna be a gun, and then for the Hilo Rockets, it's going to be like the two, like the ball.
That
you know, the ball Nerf?
Fucking, well, they have the bigger darts, like the Mega Darts.
Yeah.
Like
it's going to be those.
So you can play real, play real Overwatch.
Yeah, where are you going to get a tank? The mech tank.
Yeah.
It's a big old foam thing.
I mean, having a foam Reinhardt's hammer would be kind of dope.
Yeah.
Because I know they have the little Nerf swords that you can buy.
True.
We'll see when it comes out. The next Battlefield officially will be Battlefield 5, will be revealed May 23rd, everybody.
Hmm.
And then Sony is shutting down production on physical Vita games. So sorry, guys, if you have a Vita and you were looking for the, you know, cartridges,
damn,
they're not doing it anymore.
Nope, it's done. Yeah.
It's all digital.
Yeah, all digital now.
You know what? That might. I mean, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, not a bad idea at all.
Thanks for watching, everybody, and listening to the Video Game Bang podcast. We'll be here again, of course, Saturday at 9-ish. So for the real David Webb and the internationally known Stephen Gutierrez, I'm Sir Aaron Carter saying you have just been banged.
But in a polite way.